Hello, welcome to the Soft Shoulder Podcast. This is a podcast about creativity, self-love, growing through your breakup, and marrying yourself. My name is Danette Relic. I am a coach. I am an author. I am an artist. I am celebrating a 610-day streak on Duolingo. I contain multitudes, as do you. I'm so glad you are here. Special thanks to the magical assistance of tech witch Allison Tarr, and the music you're hearing is by Lee Rosevear. The Soft Shoulder is brought to you by my book, Crash Bloom, a creative guide to growing through your breakup, available wherever you enjoy buying books. Here we are for another conversation. It is December. We're coming to the end of 2024. If you've been listening for a little while, and especially the most recent episodes of this year, you know I've been talking a lot about grief that associated with breakups in particular, and also just grief, the loss of a loved one, as I lost my dad this year. If you missed it, I did a beautiful interview with Yarrow Magdalena on the Making and Mending Rituals podcast. Yarrow lost a parent as well this year. And so it was such a beautiful, intimate conversation about loss, about creative self-care around grief times. And we like weave in and out of, you know, talking about grief that we experience from breakups and other things, but also, of course, from, you know, our shared experiences in the death of our parents. Anyways, it's always a lovely, lovely time speaking with Yarrow, and I'm just so grateful for that opportunity. Today, I want to talk to you about not knowing. I'm an expert in not knowing. That's not true. I was thinking about it, and I noticed it even in my own speech, saying things like, this time is of uncertainty, or like almost kind of corralling it like it's this unique experience that's contained, as though there's other times where everything is super predictable in life. That's just not the nature of life. I forgot where I heard the phrase. I think, to be honest, it was like some kind of insight timer meditation, and I was in and out of sleep. So I don't know who that was or what the context was, but there was some line that was like, life is designed to always be changing. Or there was some kind of thing about that, just life is, there's nothing that wasn't designed to be in a constant state of change at some point. And you can zoom out and think about our lifetimes, you know, the lifetime of humanity, all of the other like things going on in the universe, and what a blip it is when you zoom out far enough. At some point, even the things we see as stabilizing and permanent fixtures, those things also will change and have changed. And so, you know, when you're in a time where it's brought to your attention, not where it's suddenly an unpredictable time, but where this nature of life, of this constant changing, when it's brought to your attention via something like a death, a breakup, something that really is like, wow, this thing that I loved is no longer here. Everything has changed. I am changing in it. It's sort of just like this dojo where you get to work out how you are with that reality. And a lot of the time, there's these feelings like this in-between kind of feeling, especially as you've moved through the healing a little bit, like more out of an acute stage or phase of the healing, and you're moving and time is passing and you have grown and changed. There's a chapter in Crash Bloom called Between the Islands of I'm a Mess and I'm Okay. And that's the chapter where I describe how it felt to be, you know, I think in the first days, in the early days of dealing with a great loss or change, it just feels like you're living on the island of I'm a Mess. And it's messy and unpredictable there, that's for sure. But like, it's very rare to be okay during that time, right? It's pretty much like messiness going on all the time. But then as healing happens, as some stability starts to happen, there's like, wait a minute, you know, I'm building life around this hurt. I am connecting with others. I am being supported. My capacity to support others and myself is growing now as this is healing and moving. And then you're starting to feel like you have a day that's all right. You have a day that's okay. You're starting to feel some stabilizing energy. And it's really exciting and sometimes actually complicated, right? I know it's like many people share this experience, maybe you do too, where you're, say, grieving something, the loss of a loved one, and then you have a good day, and there's just something that feels so strange and wrong about feeling fine without them for the first time, you know? And that can even happen with breakups too. There's this like, I'm really torn up. I'm really devastated. I don't know. I thought I was going to spend my life with this person. I don't know now what the rest of my life is going to look like because I had so strongly envisioned it unfolding, the story with this other person. And now it's just this, you know, it's blank. It's hard to see. It's hard to know what you even want. That can be unsettling. But then there's between. So the chapter is titled In Between the Islands of I'm a Mess and I'm Okay, because there's, even though they're kind of messy places, there's some kind of stability. But it's not like you just finish on one and hop to the other in some kind of shuttle boat and everything's cool, right? There's a lot of time where we find ourselves in the waves between these islands where our feet are not quite on the sand the way they were on one or the other. It almost can feel like you miss the island, even the messy island, because at least then you knew where you were, right? The chapter begins with, you may have heard that not knowing is the hardest part. For many of us, not knowing the results is often more difficult to endure than even the worst news. We just want to know what we're dealing with so we can do something about it. This is that discomfort that we have, right? Of wanting to fix, wanting to solve, wanting to escape our feelings, not wanting to sit with them, but wanting to put out that fire of discomfort in some way. And, you know, when some of us, you know, maybe you're like, I love the water. I feel so good when I'm swimming. Yes. It's not like, you know, the analogy is more about, you know, not so much do you enjoy swimming, but just this idea that like it's disorienting in terms of like being grounded, in terms of being like in our lives. These watery places are where we're not, it's an undefined space. And it can be difficult to live there, especially if you add in other like metaphorical things like currents, rapids, waves. Like, have you ever been out swimming in a natural like body of water and you're going out and you feel so, you think you're swimming in a straight line and you don't realize that the tide or, you know, the strength of the water has actually just carried you, lifted you, you and your little imagined straight line way off course. And you look back and you're just like, where's my family? Where's my towel? Where's my umbrella? What is happening? And you have to like, you know, make your way back, even though in your mind you had been going in a straight line. This is what I mean about that in between. So, you know, and these moments where you slip out of one and into the other and into these waters, it can happen in an instant. You could be living in there for like weeks, months. It could feel like you just haven't really had your feet on the ground in a really long time. Or it could just happen like very quickly, almost like a little slip, like, oh, I was on the island and now I'm like, I'm in the waters. I'm not really sure where I am. You could come right back, like even in like a minute. It could all be happening while you're just out for dinner and somebody brings up a story or you see someone across the restaurant and you think it's your ex, or you think it's, you know, a family member or friend of your ex, or something just jolts you. And it's like you didn't even realize that you were standing on firm ground, on nice, warm, steady sand until that moment. And then whew, like you just feel like the rug, throwing. There's all kinds of metaphors happening. It's a tapestry. It's a tapestry. Okay, not the rug, but the sand has been pulled out from under you, you know? And this can go on for quite some time. So I just wanted to come on here and you know, I've been talking to people who are grieving and moving through and healing from various things, from various losses. And, you know, the topic that comes up quite a lot is, am I doing this fast enough? Am I where I'm supposed to be? Am I doing it right, almost, is kind of the subtext, right? Am I healing right? Am I grieving right? Am I going at the right pace? And I just don't think that there is a right pace. And I don't think that we hear that enough. I think that there's a lot of time in this in-between place. And the reason why I even wrote the chapter and a lot of things in Crash Bloom is because for me, and maybe for you too, dear listener, but when I name this place, this state that I'm in, when I can have an analogy, a metaphor, something to work with, be like, oh, I was on this island. I've slipped off. I'm in the in-between. I'm between the two islands. Like, I can locate myself in the experience and know that actually nothing is wrong. Because when I read about that experience, or when I imagined that analogy, that metaphor, it made sense, right? Have you ever experienced this before where it's like, you're okay, you're not okay, then you're okay again? It's makes me think of like a time where I was like young and on a dock and, you know, about to get into like maybe a canoe or something like that at some cottage or camp or some such. And you just kind of like misjudge how close the boat is. And you can just like, woo, like you think you're stepping into the boat, but you don't. It can be very painful, but it can happen really quickly just like that. And then you're fine again, right? You can restabilize. You can come back in. It's an incredible skill to be able to sit with this, to be able to recognize that you're in some kind of in-between. And I mean, if you're listening now and you're not going through a breakup, not particularly grieving anything, this specific material is not relatable at the moment in your life. It's wonderful. Good for you. But this in-between space, it applies to all of us in different ways, right? It could be like between shifts in our identity, shifts in our like creative interests, what we're working towards, and then, you know, it's not working anymore, right? Some kind of solution. Maybe you're living in a town where it used to feel amazing and like it's a home and, you know, you loved everything. It just felt like such a great community. And then the community starts to change and shift. The population changes and shifts. The people who were close to you move and go somewhere else. And other people are moving in. Other businesses are serving people who aren't you. And it's like, you don't recognize where you are anymore, right? There's lots of ways in which, you know, these moments can happen, these changes can happen where we may find ourselves in between something. Like, I still love it here. I still feel at home here. And also, not really, you know? Boredom is another thing that has been a topic lately. Right? Boredom being the sign of like, I was once somewhere that I recognized. I was once engaged, you know, energetically. I was once interested in something and I'm not anymore. Sometimes we can get bored with our own healing path. Like, I've just been so focused on, you know, how to get over a breakup for so long. I've been so focused on like how to save the relationship for so long. And then you're just bored of the content, where at one point it was riveting. It felt almost life-saving, and now it's not, but nothing has really come in to replace it just yet. And that's the thing, right? It's like, we don't know. I think the nature of life is there will be something, right? There will be something to come in and emerge. Ideally, it's something that we choose perhaps, or that resonates with us, delights us, that feels like a doorway to a kind of growth that's exciting, that brings out more beauty in who we are, that helps us wrap our arms around the world a little more, helps us open to one another a little more, finds like a new role for us in service in some way, very big or small. I think there's always going to be something, but it doesn't happen like, you know, who's the comedian? There's a stand-up comic who did a bit about how fast we expect our parcels delivered, like same-day delivery, and then like just how we just get so used to it that we're so entitled to wanting what we want in the moment that we want to order something and have it already be at our house. Like, I would like that delivered 5 minutes ago, and I just won't be satisfied unless somehow that's happening. That's just like, it can be uncomfortable to wait, probably more than ever, right? We don't have to wait for many things. Some things that we used to have so much patience for, watching a TV show. I ran into an old friend who shared a beautiful memory with me, and it was just, I loved it. I'd forgotten about some of these details. It was shared with me because it was like a memory involving my dad. But this friend said that I remember coming over to your house every Thursday to watch the show Friends. And then she remembered something sweet my dad did every time she came over. But I was like, remember that? Like waiting every week to see barely half an hour of a show and then waiting again, right? That was just what we did. And it's hard to imagine and sometimes to even have like the willpower to just not have the choice, actually. Like, never mind the willpower, but it's kind of like, what do you mean I don't have the choice to just watch the entire, not season, series of something, right? We're so used to things being quick. When it comes to things that are just so human, right? Just so like about relationships, about our hearts, about things unfolding in our spirits, we don't go at that pace. Thank goodness, but we just don't. And so, you know, the more that we can just remember that this is, you know, there's going to be times where things slow down. There's going to be times when things speed up and seem kind of sudden, and we get to find that pace. Sometimes we get to participate in that. In The Art of Self-Marriage, in the first version of The Art of Self-Marriage, a big theme that I reminded everyone about was the to go at a loving pace. And it was really important. I think I've covered that in the podcast as well, where it's one person's loving pace is not someone else's. Someone else's, it's an act of kindness to slow way down. And for someone else, it's a loving pace to encourage momentum, right? To like put things in place to help boost motion. And when it's possible for us to influence that pace, that's how we can take care of ourselves. It's just such a great thing to even notice, you know, what is the loving pace for me right now? How am I going to show up with this right now? And sometimes the pace of things are out of our hands. You can find yourself in between these islands, the island of I'm a mess and I'm okay. When it comes to breakups, like you might slip in there. It could be years later. One thing I really hope to communicate while talking about and sharing Crash Bloom with you is to normalize how there aren't really any rules to what is quote unquote normal about your experience in overcoming a broken heart. It's, to me, it has just been mysterious. And, you know, there's a lot that we have learned about it. There's a lot of great information out there that's helped me and probably helped you. And Crash Bloom hopefully is one of those things that's helping. And also, there always seems to be exceptions. I made a joke to a friend that, you know, even ever since I was little, I always loved advice columns. Probably not a surprise now at this point. When I was a kid, I just thought that was like so cool and thought it'd be so great to have an advice column. And I thought about it over the years about like could I start one? Is that something I would really want to do? And when I joked to my friend, I said, you know, I think the name of my advice column would have to be It Depends, because every single response, no matter what the question, probably is going to start with It Depends. The reason why, and I love this, is that like you're different from someone else. The circumstances, like the tiny little nuances that make up your story, make up someone else's story, they're going to change, right? How to be loving. Like the kind of love, is specificity a love language? Because, I mean, how do you feel when someone just says like, oh, I love you, you're beautiful. I was going to say, you look like Linda Evangelista. No, I was like, when someone compliments you and it's really specific and it's very specific to you and they see you, not a compliment that could be easily given to just about anybody, that means like that's a way of seeing. And that is a loving way of seeing someone. To me, that's a loving seeing is such an act of love, right? And we can resist this because of lots of things, but you know, call it navel gazing or whatever, but to do self-reflection work, to me, this is love, a loving way of getting to know ourselves and seeing ourselves, right? So we can really know, we're like, I give a shit about you and I give a shit about the details and I am paying close attention. It's not the only thing I'm paying attention to, but when I do pay attention to you, I am listening and I am looking. I'm looking closely, right? So, you know, this It Depends is because, you know, it does depend. It depends on so many things. And one, you know, answer of advice is just not going to be the same. Any kind of, no matter how detailed the letter would be or the inquiry would be, the request for advice, I would have follow-up questions. And this is, you know, why I obviously like am drawn to the work I do. And I love group work, but I love one-on-one work because I can really get granular with someone about that particular way that they tick, right? That they work. All those little differences I think are so important when we're looking at guidance or the question of like, what should I do? What are my options? How can I do this in a way that is most beneficial, in a way that is most loving, in a way where I will feel satisfied and I won't feel compromised, in a way that will encourage my growth, maximize this for me in a very particular way. Like I just really like the details. So I don't know. If you want to ask for some advice, this is a spontaneous thought here, but shoot me an email and I will start it with It Depends. And see what we've got there. But anyways, dear listener, you know, I hope you know that you are someone worth loving. And if you are in between those islands, especially, you know, all the time, but there's a lot of extra pressure this time of year, of course, with holiday season happening. And I just want to say that you're not alone, even though you're out in your own waters. I see you there and, you know, I see you navigating them with strength, with a willingness to be with the uncertainty. This is uncomfortable. It's not fun. It's not something that we like want to choose all the time, but it is so good for you. It is so good to work that muscle. It's a way that we can learn how to trust ourselves. Because we know, like if you know you can tread water in between the islands of I'm a mess and I'm okay, even though you're uncomfortable, even though you're afraid of sharks, even though, but if you've done it for a minute, then that next minute you can say to yourself, okay, self, I've already done this for a minute. You know, I can do another minute because I know I'm capable of a minute. And if you've been in these waters in other times of your life, in other ways, and you're back here again, you're like, I know these waters. I'm still scared. I still find it uncomfortable. But I know that I can do this. I trust myself to find the strength to do this because I found the strength to do this before. You'll make your way back. There's probably a lot of other islands, not just these two islands, but that's just what this chapter was about. Anyways, okay. Take good care of yourself, dear listener. We will talk to you soon.